fine. But then you have the in, out,
up, down. So you can turn anything into words and words. So English has about 1,200,000 words, richest on earth. Then comes Spanish with about 800,000. And from there, you get languages like French and German, who are like in, say, 300,000 level.
Wow. I knew English had the most words. I didn't know it was 1,300,000.
Yeah. About. And you don't have a Royal Academy like we do, which makes things easier. But you have in Oxford, England, a equivalent to the Academy, where words are registered. They don't legally decide whether the word is valid or not, but they're simply registered. So I think the greatness of English is its capacity to absorb at any level, racially. It's a very democratic language, period. Whereas Spanish, every word has to go through a legal process until it is accepted. For instance, in Cuba, we use the word for a dog that's always fucking around, you know? We use the word sato. And we have a verb, satear, which is used for women who are kind of loose in their manners. And una mujer sata is a gal who sleeps around, you know? And it has many levels. It can be literally screwing around democratically, or it can mean...
Metaphorically, huh?
Even that. Or it can be a flirt. A typical flirt. Well, that word has existed in Cuba, from what I know, since the beginning of the nation, at least 120 years. It was finally accepted by the Spanish Royal Academy about 15, 20 years ago. Now it's in the dictionary.
Wow.
Now so you see how stiff the language is. It has to go through a process until. So it diminishes the capacity of absorption of new language. You know. And then, for instance, they started doing, until this horrible crisis, a dictionary, a complete dictionary of all the words per country. So they did Chile, they did Argentina, they did Cuba, they did, I think, Uruguay. When it came to Mexico, and this was sponsored by the Germans, they had the money, and it was a lot of money that they put into this. It was being done in Chile. When it came to Mexico, they decided not to fund this anymore because the huge amount of words in the Mexican vocabulary would have cost much beyond the budget that they had. Why? Because in Mexico, you have constantly a word that comes from the indigenous level and a word that comes from Spain. So you may have maíz for corn, Spanish word, as in English, maíz, you know. And then you have... elote, which is the indigenous word. So there you are with this.
That was really, that was great. Wow, I mean, I'm always learning as much as I can about words, and just to know what you said right now is powerful knowledge.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it gives you, as a writer in the Spanish language, so many levels of communication. One of the things that moved my poetry into this separate entity that people talk about is the fact that at age 20, I came from a limited language, Cuban, a concept that doesn't exist. What exists is Spanish, you know. And you have the classical difference between language and speech. In Spanish, it's lengua, lenguaje, and habla. We all have a lenguaje, the animals have a lenguaje, the plants have a lenguaje. Each of us has un idioma, a language, yours is English, mine is Spanish, and we have hablas. You talk, say, with a California accent and you incorporate many Californian ways. Myself, Cuban, but Cuba from Havana, Cuban from the 1960s, so on and so forth. That's the habla. So I came out of Cuba with that which is very localized. I come to New York, the megalopolis with all the Spanish coming in.
What was New York like then?
In the 60s, it was dead from the language point of view because I had no contact with Spanish. There was no Spanish. There were Puerto Ricans, and there was this horrible Spanish advertising things in subways or giving instructions in subways. That was obviously done by Puerto Ricans who were not equipped to do it in terms of translation, whom they probably gave $20 to do the job, you know? And you should see how atrocious the language was. That has changed completely after, say, the 80s. But it took a long time for this to change. Even yesterday, the other day, 2 days ago, I'm catching this plane to come here, JetBlue, and there's an ad at the entrance of the airplane in English and in Spanish. The Spanish has 3 orthographical mistakes that really pisses me off. This is inscribed in the fuselage of the plane. They cannot spend $100 to pay a good translator to do an adequate translation. And the other thing that pisses me off is that all the Spanish that you see around, and this has changed for the better, is usually a literal translation of the English, which, you know, doesn't call for the fluidity of the language, the true fluidity of the language. If you're talking English, talk English. If you're talking Spanish, talk Spanish. And if you're talking Spanglish, talk Spanglish. I have nothing against that. But Jesus, don't fuck around with so-called the orthodoxy of the language. There's a kind of respect for that we all need to communicate.
Fuck with both hands.
What do you mean?
You know, you went to the bathroom at Burning Word, and it said, it's supposed to say, you know, you have to wash your hands, but it could be translated as, do you remember that? You don't remember that.
No.
It said Burning Words.
Yeah.
Los Manos, something about the way it was worded.
Oh, yeah, and I made a point during the conversation with the public. It's true. It was so absurd.
It said wash your hands, but one...
When you turn it into Spanish, it literally said fuck with both your hands, right? Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.